Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Let's get to, Sandy Barber's on the show today. Nathan Davis on the show today. They beat Lehigh last night. Can Ben play with torn ligaments in his shoulder? If so, how will it limit him? You have two quarterbacks damaged goods out there.
Yeah.
So it'll come down to defenses. You're dead. All right.
Not what I asked. No, I already know the defense for the Denver Broncos is better than Cincinnati. I said that yesterday. I'm willing to concede that. My question is, what kind of... I mean, I don't know anybody that's played with this before. I mean, have you ever heard of this? Are you familiar with this injury and the limitations that go with it?
He's a drama queen. Nobody knows how hurt he is. Jeez. Come on. You don't even know why... You're taking his word for how hurt he is, okay? I don't know how hurt he is.
Well, here's what Tomlin
is this Dr. Jim Bradley telling you or
no? It's Ben.
Okay. Well, if it's Ben telling you, then what credence do you put behind that?
Well, I'm assuming the man is legit.
Okay. If it is Ben Roethlisberger saying it, how much credence do you put behind the statement?
I'm taking him at his word.
Oh, typical Steeler fan. You got to look outside on the outside. You got to have the viewpoint of we have. He always does this all the time. He's coy. He plays games. He's this. He's a combo.
All right. Here is Mike Tomlin's comment.
Day to day. He'll probably be a partial participant tomorrow and get his run game readiness ready to go. And we'll increase his activity as the week goes. And obviously deal with him in an appropriate manner and let the quality of his performance be our guide in terms of his availability. But that's where we are right now.
That's just a very good, solid answer that he's going to participate in practice tomorrow. Tomorrow's the run game day, so they'll get through the run game stuff, so he's comfortable taking care of all that, and they'll increase his activities the week goes along. It's a very logical, solid comment.
You do understand, though, an injured Ben is still better in most Steeler fans' eyes than a fully healthy Landry Jones.
Yes, CBS did a terrible job. They should have cut to the sideline of Landry Jones weeping.
No offense to Landry Jones, but I'm feeling more confident with Ben making better decisions and throwing the ball 10 yards shorter than Landry Jones' longer decision, the bad decisions, and 10 yards further downfield.
All this for a game you're going to lose by 17 points. Go ahead. What else you got?
All right, well, here's Tomlin on D'Angelo Williams.
D'Angelo is still kind of on the outside looking in. I'll leave the door ajar for him. He's a savvy veteran player. If he perks up at the end of the week, I have no issue in terms of giving him an opportunity to assist us in our efforts. But as we sit here today, it's just that. I'm leaving the door ajar for him. We'll see where the week of rehabilitation and so forth takes us with him.
In other words, no shot. All right.
By the way, D'Angelo Williams now referring to the third and fourth string running backs as TNT.
Right. That's fabulous. Well, guess what? They're going up against D&D, Denver's defense.
Denver's defense. Right. That's good.
Slightly better than what you attempted to face the other night.
Totally agree. Finally, Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown is in the concussion protocol. He hadn't been in yet today. I think he comes in at 1 o'clock. I don't have anything to update you in regards to that.
That's Mike Tomlin, who normally has lousy press conferences. to his credit, had a rock solid press conference today where he talked about everything.
Now, is it true? Is it true?
No, it's not. Let's move on.
This is probably a better question for Dr. John Furrier, but is it true that someone who is in their first set of concussion protocols usually comes through those quicker than someone who has had several over, you know, several years or what have you?
Kevin, it depends on the severity of the concussion. They're all different.
I understand that.
Then why did you ask that question?
Well, I didn't know if there's any truth to this discussion if this is your first concussion, that you go through the protocols typically quicker. I don't know. I'm asking.
It depends on how severe the concussion is. If you have a real head knocker, look, Sam Shields is still in concussion protocol today. He's been out 3 weeks.
Is this his first one?
My understanding, it is.
Okay. Well, that's a fair.
It just depends on how severe it is.
I mean, you do understand that these are three key components in the offense, right?
It's so hard dealing with Steeler fans. It's difficult.
Oh, come on. It is not that. No, it's not.
It's just we can't do anything wrong. We're incredible. We're great.
Hold on. Where's that coming from?
Our people are great and pure.
Oh, you are off your rocker now.
Everybody else is evil. Oh, my goodness. It's just hard. It's like being at Ohio State.
What? Oh, that's harsh. Oh, wow. That's insulting.
It's like being at Alabama.
Oh, that's not as insulting.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It's only a mild concussion, I'm telling you. You don't know what level concussion he has.
I'm not saying it was.
Okay.
I'm just saying, is there any, we're trying to find some rays of hope. If you're a Steeler fan right now, you're very concerned.
It's Tuesday, all right? The game's Sunday, okay? If Friday they're ruled out, they're ruled out. They're ruled in, they're ruled in. Guess what? You play with what you got. You know?
When did you stop watching sports as a fan?
It has nothing to do with that. You grow up in a period of time and look around and say, look, okay, what do we have to, what can we do to win? You know, can we force some turnovers? Can we get some takeaways? Can we shorten the field? What can we do? You beat the Arizona Cardinals with Landry Jones, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, I still can't figure out how that happened.
And Arizona is an exponentially better team than yours.
Yeah, I still don't understand that.
Arizona at that point had Chris Johnson and Tyrann Mathieu, had them both. They had both guys. I mean, like, they were not only completely healthy, but really playing well. And you beat them with Landry Jones. So, this is where your coaching staff makes its money.
And well, they're going to have to make some because they lost some already.
And the audience for the next 4 days has to be subjected to you whining about it.
I'm not whining. I'm asking questions. I'm intrigued. I am concerned.
Okay. Here's your question. Okay, I understand the first time you go through concussion protocol, it's easier.
Is that true? I was asking a question.
It depends on how severe the concussion is.
And now I am an educated man knowing that. I did not know that before. Listen, when I had a concussion, they just told you to sniff some smelling salts and get back in there.
How can you not know that? It's like anything. I have an MCL sprain. I have an ACL tear. Well, they're two different. They're both knee injuries.
Well, let's just say in the last year, I've learned an awful lot about knee injuries.
I'm just saying, but they're both knee injuries.
I mean, when I had my concussion in high school, they just put you back in the game. I sat out for a play, went into halftime. I don't know who we were playing. I don't remember what was said at halftime. I just remember coming back out and being on kick coverage again. So, look, you know, this concussion thing is all new to me.
Yeah, but this isn't what people want to talk about today. Okay, what they want to talk about today is they want to talk about Herb Hand. They want to talk about Bob Shoup. They want to talk about Troy Reader.
I don't
doubt
that.
Want to talk about Geno Lewis. Okay? And you're out here talking about what level concussion Dr. Kevin Herr thinks Antonio Brown has.
And the beauty of this program is it's 2 hours and we can get to it all.
Yes, but we've already lost the people that are interested. You already took us in a bad direction. He had to do the Steeler thing again.
There's a lot of Steeler fans. You do know that.
Yeah, and guess what? We have no answers. Okay, let's go through it. D'Angelo Williams, Kevin, playing or not?
I'm sorry, what were you saying?
D'Angelo Williams, playing or not? Go ahead, tell the audience.
At this point, we don't know.
Ben Roethlisberger, how well can he throw the ball?
I don't know. I've never had anybody that or known anybody that had this injury or seen anybody with this injury, so I'm not sure.
Antonio Brown, will he play in the game or not?
It all depends on if he passes concussion protocols. And the way it sounds, it doesn't matter if it's your first one or not.
So what did you just say to all three questions?
But this is from talking with you. I have now learned the answers to my three questions.
I don't know. We'll come back with more and tell you what we do know in a moment here on News Radio 1070. Okay.
Who needs the Powerball? You can be a big winner with a brand new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. If your New Year's resolution is to save money, check out Sunbury Motors Hyundai this month. SMC Hyundai has 2016 Elantras with sunroofs, Bluetooth backup cameras, and more, starting at only $17,235 or just $209 a month. Or Hyundai Accents starting at $14,493 or as low as $176 a month. Why buy used? Head to Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Get a great new car, a low payment, and America's best warranty. 10 years, 100,000 miles. You don't need the Powerball to win big. You need to visit Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburyhyundai.com. SMC, selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. 10% down for 84 months. 3.64% with approved credit through MSC Bank. All buyers qualify. Tax and tax extra all rebates to dealer. See dealer for complete details.
Unfortunately for this half hour, we're completely out of time. Kevin ate it up with mindless speculation about Steeler and injuries. We're out of time. You took it away. Antonio, I asked you three questions about the three things you talked about, and all three had the same answer. I don't know. Now, there's a coach here that coached here for 46 years. You wasted my time.
That I could hear him saying.
That's exactly what he'd tell you right now.
That I could hear him saying.
All right. Troy Reader has decided to transfer and go home to Delaware. He sent out a great tweet. And about what it's meant to be. I really like Troy Reader. I like him as a football player. I like him as a person. He said, "Thank you, Penn State. Truly a special place, but I couldn't be happier to say I'm home." Well, he's from Delaware. His younger brother has verbally committed to play at Delaware, and he's going to join his brother there, and they're going to play football together at Delaware, which I believe is where his dad graduated from. Fine football player, really good person. I hope Troy Reader does really well there. Gary Wooten is going to transfer and play right away at Duquesne. No, that is not a surprise in any way, shape, or form. I expected that. I expected that or a MAC school or something. I probably could have told you about that 2 months ago. Daquan Worley, same thing. Looks like he's going to transfer out. But again, except for Reader is the only one transferring where I look at and I see, okay, a position where, yeah, there are some younger players, but Reader would have played. I think Reeder could have played either middle. He could have played outside, and Troy would have been really good at both. I liked the way he played this year. Good player. And I think he's going home to Delaware. I can't say enough good things about Troy Reeder. Geno Lewis had an area of a position where, look, it's going to be a logjam there. 1,000-yard receiver in Godwin. Hamilton is still very much in the mix. Blacknall is very much in the mix. Now you got Tompkins, you got Polk. But now you're adding in Irvin Charles, who has tremendous potential. My goodness. You watch him out there. And Juwan Johnson was great potential. And I think the numbers, he kind of looked at the numbers and was smart, and he's going to go to Oklahoma. I think Geno will do well at Oklahoma. Daquan Worley got passed out on the depth chart a while ago. I did not think Daquan Worley would get passed out as quickly as he did, but he did. John Reed came in, played really well. Amani Oyewariye has really stepped up and played a lot better. And Grant Haley, it's just... the numbers weren't working for Daquan Worley as well, and they just weren't. And the numbers weren't going to work for Gary Wooten. So it'll give Gary Wooten a chance to play right away at Duquesne. Troy Reeder will get to play football with his brother at Delaware. Geno Lewis will get a chance one last go through with Oklahoma. And Daquan Worley, I don't know what his plans are as to what he's going to do. I don't think Daquan Worley was going to get past. In my opinion, watching him on the field, he's going to get past playing special teams here. And that's, you know, that's the way. Herb Hand ends up going to Auburn, but he's very tight personal friends with Gus Malzahn. All right. And his family never moved here. Herb's family never did move to State College. His son was here. His son was a manager this year on the team, which made this year a little bit easier for him. But is the rest of his family never did move up here. So, you know, it's fine. You know, you move on. You adjust. Brent Pry is a great hire as defensive coordinator. Now, James, the coaches' convention is going on. And all right. We're at the bottom of the hour. We apologize. We didn't get to the stuff that you as fans wanted to talk about earlier. We had to be hostage to the Kevin Herr Steeler conversation. Again, repeating let's capsulize the Kevin Herr Steeler conversation. You don't mind if we do this, do you, Kevin?
No, go right ahead.
D'Angelo Williams, will he play?
I think he will.
Kevin, quote, I don't know.
I think he will.
Based on?
Gut feeling.
Antonio Brown, I don't know. Ben Roethlisberger, I don't know. I just summed up 12 minutes of conversation in 34 seconds.
Sucking the life out of sports.
I'm kidding you. I know Steeler fans wanted to talk about that. Oh, my goodness. But.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You can't see outside here right now.
That's not making me feel warm and fuzzy for what's headed in our direction in the next hour and a half.
This is a snow squall that's more of a lake effect deal here.
All
I don't really
right.
know if it's as if it's a storm that's affecting you.
Well, I don't know. I've been watching it move through on the radar, and it looks like it's moving in this direction.
I can't even see it. I can't even see the tree in the backyard. What the heck?
That's not that far from the house. I am not feeling warm and fuzzy now. Thanks.
No, yeah, I know. Hey, Bucknell won last night. Big win last night, beating Lehigh. And Nathan Davis is the head basketball coach at Bucknell. Nathan, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me once again. It's good to be with you.
Yeah. Okay. These are different and better conversations that we were having a month ago. Why is that?
Well, I think that there's a couple things, and I mean, I guess it's to say it really comes back to the main thing is that you can say what you want. You don't want to make excuses. We played good teams, but the way we're defending is a lot different than they had in the past. The way we play offense is a lot different than we had in the past. I think guys have gotten more comfortable, so there's less reaction and more aggressiveness in everything we're doing, defensively especially. You see a lot less pointing. Guys are flying around a little bit more, so we're not on our heels all the time.
You make adjustments along the way. What are a couple of – when you sat back and said, okay, I've got some time here to really look at this, in essence, where have you adjusted?
In the grand scheme, we haven't done a whole lot of major adjustments. One thing we did was we felt like we needed to play more guys a little bit more so we could stay fresh. Thought that there were times where we didn't defend or gotten lulls because we were getting tired. And thought that we were obviously pretty talented, so we could up some other guys' minutes and spread them out. So instead of guys playing 6 or 7 minutes in a row, we could get them to 4 or 5, and they could fly around. And then get them back in after 4 or 5 minutes and keep them fresh that way. I just try to kind of simplify what we were emphasizing, both offensively and defensively, with defensively being transition defense, really having a good grasp of our opponent's personnel, who can shoot, who's the drivers, that type of stuff. Being able to defend ball screens, being able to defend penetration, and then offensively getting out and running our transition, executing that, keeping it simple, posting hard, looking to throw it in, driving and kicking, and when we have chances to screen, to go hit somebody.
It's amazing sometimes just simplifying a couple of things, what it can mean. You put a lot of stuff in, and you want to see what sticks. As a coach sometimes, does it even surprise you that simplifying things sometimes works?
You know what? It's unbelievable because every year you start the year and we say we gotta dumb it down, we gotta back off, we don't need this much stuff, and you still put it all in. And then you get into December and you're on exams are coming out, and now you're cutting it back and trying to really just kind of tweak some stuff. But I mean, I think there's some advantage of both. You got to put in a bunch of stuff so you can see what really sticks with your players and what's going to be the most effective, and then you can kind of tweak that stuff as you go forward. So we've cut back some on what we're doing, and now we're just kind of tweaking some of the other stuff to try to take advantage of the way people are playing it.
Success breeds success along the way. As much as you'd like to think things stay the same in the practice court, have you seen a little more jump on the practice court with this 5-game winning streak?
I see more smiles. I'm not sure that's a good or bad thing. I mean, the part of what got us out of it was after we lost to Fairfield, our focus in practice and everything became a lot better. And that has carried over. We've had quality practices every time going forward, and typically you play like you practice, and we've been fortunate that we've had good practice. We haven't been going as long, so that time of year we start coming back, we haven't been going as long, trying to keep guys fresh, but their focus has been good, so we haven't had to repeat stuff over and over again. We've been able to move on to the next thing, which has allowed us to stay on pace. So really their focus and energy and practice is a lot of why we've turned it around.
Last night's game, when you look at last night's game, what were a couple of key things last night that maybe were a little different that helped you win it?
Well, every game's a little bit different, but we felt like going in, obviously, right, with Tim Kempton, they had a really good post player. Everyone looks at him, he's a player of the year type deal in our league, and got to stop him. We felt like, well, I don't know that we're going to keep him under 18, 16 points no matter what we do. But they had a lot of really good standstill shooters. We wanted to make sure that those guys didn't get off and wanted to make them put the ball on the floor. So we emphasized a lot that threes were going to kill us, and we wanted to make sure that we were taking those away. Twos hurt. Threes kills. We wanted to take those away, and I thought we did a good job. And they were hitting, I think, 10 or 11 coming into the game, and we held them to 5. So that was a big part of it. And then offensively, we've got some really talented offensive players. So it sounds silly, and you hear it all the time. You just want to keep it simple. Keep it simple, stupid, and spread the floor. Right. Just make the right play. And really down the stretch, they made a run. And to our guys' credit, what we did was 3 or 4 possessions in a row. We just made the right play, and we got a couple layups, and then we got a couple open threes. And next thing you knew, there was 2 minutes left. We were up 12 again.
Yeah. Chris Haas goes into every game with a target on his chest. And when they sit down and do the scouting report, he's named number one that comes up. I think it's pretty safe to say that. How much respect do you have for a guy where you know he's the number one guy in the scouting report and yet still has the ability to go out and does what he does every night?
Oh, he's a very good offensive player. He can score. I mean, everyone talks about him as a shooter. He's a scorer. He can put the ball on the floor. He can finish above the rim. He can get out and finish in transition. He can shoot coming off screen. So he can score in a lot of ways. The thing that's been best, honestly, about him is that, yeah, he can score. And so he puts up 40 against Army. And so everyone says, we're going to take him away. And so he gets, like, six against that game. He gets 32 in the first half. In the second half, he gets 8, but we score 47. As a team.
Right.
Come back in those next two games and he gets 12 and 14 and never complains and throws other guys a ball and we win by 20 and 30. Last night they tried to do some of the same stuff and he got a little bit more shots off. He gets 21, but we end up with 4 other guys to get double figures. So
right,
as long as he just as long as he doesn't force it, he's going to get a chance to score, because eventually they're going to have to respect everybody else, because those guys can kill him too.
Steven Brown last night had 6 assists, but no turnovers in the game. As a coach, how much do you appreciate both those numbers showing up in that stat sheet?
One thing, and it's especially true with the way we play, he's got a lot of – he gets the ball. No one else really brings it up in transition, and we're going to try to go. So he's making a lot of decisions on what we're going to do. And you can say really over the last 5 games, I think he's averaging like 10 points, 8 assists, and a turnover a game. That's pretty special. So
yeah,
I'd like
really
to think
is.
He's going to keep that up, but I'm sure he's going to be off a little bit one day. We'll have to find a way to go on, but he's playing at a very, very high level right now.
He was 5 of 6 from the field last night. As a point guard, what kind of job does he do, Nathan, picking his own spots?
Yeah, well, again, what he does, he keeps it simple. When he's open, he shoots it.
Right.
When they run at him, he puts the ball on the floor or moves it. So he's not trying to do anything spectacular. He's just being solid. And if you're just solid and try to hit singles, you're going to be pretty successful.
3 steals for him last night as well. I know that's 3 straight questions I've asked about him, but he stuffed the sheet for you last night. Has he become a better defender out front on the ball for you?
He has gotten more aggressive. I think it's a lot like everybody else, where they really starting to understand what we're trying to do and why. And so it's kind of, they're just getting out of their heads a little bit, and they're just kind of flying around. But he's very quick, so he can apply a lot of pressure to guards on the ball, which is good at the front of our defense.
All right, you mentioned 4 other people, or 4 people being in double figures. When you get that kind of balance, are you getting the kind of floor spacing, floor balance that you like, and it's coming to fruition in front of you?
Yeah, for the most part. Again, I mean, I think that it's just January 12th, so I'm sitting here watching the video today, and there's a lot of points I feel like we left on the board with spacing and a couple questionable shots and some careless turnovers. And so it can get a lot better. But, I mean, you say like easily because of the 4 people in double figures, we had 7 people hit 3s. Last night,
yep.
We had 7 people hit 3s the game before, and they weren't all the same 7 guys.
Right, yeah,
so,
exactly.
So it's kind of like, as long as, like you said, if we stay spaced and keep it simple and play with each other, we're going to get quality shots. And our guys are good enough that if they can get quality shots, they're eventually going to make them. I think one point last night, we started out the game, I think, 4 for 17 from the floor, and we're getting pretty good shots. We ended up at 28 for 55.
Yeah.
So,
what's it like for you to teach right now, Nathan, as you win, as opposed to trying to battle back?
Well, I think it means a different mentality, and we've been talking to him a lot here in the last week about something Larry Bird said that I thought was great. Let winning make you soft. Don't let losing make you quit, and don't let down your teammates. And I think that we've come out every day understanding that you're winning games, we got to get better. The teams we play are going to be better the next time we play them. And if we're not better, we're going to be in trouble. We're not where we need to be. We're certainly pleased that we're getting these wins, but we got to understand that it's a process. Just like when we're losing games, we got to improve after every game, find 3 or 4 things that we can work on, really focus in on, and get better at. And if we can do that by the end of the year, we'll have a chance to be pretty good.
One guy I have not talked to you about, and that's Kimball McKenzie, who gave you 11, 12 minutes last night. What can you tell us about him?
He's a fiery kid. Everyone that comes to watch his practice, a lot of coaches come through and they see him at the beginning of the year and ask about him. We say, oh, yeah, he's a freshman. And they're like, that kid's a freshman? I thought he was like a junior or senior with the way he was talking. And he's going to be a really good leader. He's a very good player. He was actually the Baltimore Catholic League Player of the Year last year at John Carroll. And so he's kind of a combo guard. We're playing mostly at the point right now. But he can shoot the ball. He can get the ball on the floor. He competes defensively. He's vocal. So he's got a very bright future.
Yeah, Colgate coming up Saturday at 7 at Soika. A little thumbnail on them, Nathan.
I would like to give you more. I haven't actually watched
it. You haven't watched it yet. Because you played last night. So, I mean, yeah, I understand that.
I've seen them a little bit in a couple other games, but I was really paying more attention to the other team. They have a point guard that's very good. They're a quality defensive team. I think that field goal percentage-wise, they're leading the league in field goal percentage. They play some... coach there is a Fran Dunphy disciple, so they do a lot of the same stuff Penn used to do, Temple does now. So, I mean, they'll be prepared. It'll be a tough challenge. He's got a good team.
Sometimes I forget you played last night and it's only Tuesday. that one's on me.
Hey, that's all right.
I figured I thought I'd try to promote the game. So, thank Nathan. Congratulations on the streak. Thanks so much. We look forward to talking to you again next week.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Nathan Davis, head basketball coach at Bucknell. We'll come back, and Kevin will give you more Steeler info in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors just finished celebrating 100 years of satisfying more customers.
But they aren't stopping there.
SMC is committed to save you more than ever before in 2016. Sunbury Motors ordered in more Ford inventory to make sure you can save even more money this year. SMC is where you want to be for your next new F-150. 80 F-150s in stock starting at $26,904. SMC is where you want to be if you're looking for the versatile Ford Escape. There's 40 Escapes in stock with savings up to $3,750 plus 0% for 60 months. SMC is where you want to be. To find the jaw-dropping Ford Fusion, SMC has 30 Fusions in stock with savings up to $3,500 and 0% financing for 60 months. 2016 is the start of another 100 years at SMC, and you're going to be the winner with more inventory to choose from and more money to keep in your bank account. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
At sunburymotors.com.
Here we go, Steelers, here we go. Pittsburgh's gone to Super Bowl. Here we go.
Cheer the Steelers, black and the gold. Here we go. It's time to
Pittsburgh. No, you can keep playing it, go ahead.
So, here we go, the Steelers.
People on the show I wanted to keep left long ago.
We are from Pittsburgh, the six-time Super Bowl champ.
Hey, we got the important part in.
It's fine.
One more playoff win to become the winningest football franchise in the playoffs.
That's nice.
Cowboys can't say that.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
49ers can't say that.
Oh.
Patriots can't say that.
No, nobody can say it but you. Only you. You know what's really interesting about this? In all seriousness, and I made this a very serious comment. I'm not kidding around with this.
Okay, go ahead then.
What I find very, very sad about the National Football League when it comes to history is that too many people act like history began with the Super Bowl.
That's true.
And that is dead wrong. Green Bay Packers have won, what, 13 championships? The Bears have won, what, 11? The Giants have won, what, how many? I don't know, 8 along the way. Championship football did not begin with the Super Bowl. Oh, this Packers have four Super Bowl championships. And one in 65, and one in 60, and 61, and 62, and
it's almost like we forgot everything before the Super Bowl era.
Championships were won prior to the Super Bowl. I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles had never won a Super Bowl, but they've won the NFL championship. Now, admittedly, it was 56 years ago. I mean, I know that. But the NFL is the only one, and you look at the rich history of the Stanley Cup, the NBA playoffs, the World Series, and it takes you all the way back. Not the NFL. Everything's about the Super Bowl and how many Super Bowls have you won.
We've won 6 Super Bowls.
Oh, okay, well, good for you. I mean, that's great. You know, the Packers won 5 NFL championships in 7 years. But only 2 of them are Super Bowls, so really, those are the only 2 that count? I mean, come on.
At the start of 2015, what football team in the NFL had the most wins?
The most wins?
The most regular season wins.
If I were to guess, I'd say the Chicago Bears.
And you would be 100% correct. They also have the most combined wins.
Right. And they're probably also up there in number of losses, too, because of length of franchise.
The team with the most postseason wins coming into the 2015 season was the Dallas Cowboys. Also, the highest regular season winning percentage.
But again, it's skewed because there are more playoff games now.
That's also true. That's very true. But if you look at the highest winning percentage in the regular season, it's still the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's fine. They're also a franchise that didn't start till 1960.
That's really impressive when you throw that in, too.
Right. Yeah, that's fine. Troy Reader wants to play football alongside his brother Colby. He's from Delaware. His dad graduated from Delaware. And I just genuinely like him very, very much. Always have. I think he's a really good football player, and I think he's an even better guy to be around. I hope he does really well there. And his reasons for transferring are very personal. Gary Wooten's going to Duquesne. Gary wasn't going to play much here. Daquan Worley is going to transfer out. He wasn't going to play much here. Geno Lewis, he could have competed for it. I mean, I don't know how much playing time he would have had. But there's a lot of bodies in that spot. So he's, you know, graduate transfer, he's going to go there. Herb Hand's best friends with Gus Malzahn. Opportunities there, he's taking it. Herb's family never moved here either. And then Bob Shoup has a good opportunity in Tennessee. He took it, and Brent Pry has a great opportunity. He stays here, and he's going to be the DC, and he'll do a great job. Sandy Barber is going to be in the next half hour. We'll talk with her. Then Rich Scarcella, final half hour. And I'm trying to schedule as many guests as possible, because after the opening 10 minutes of the show were all about Kevin obsessing over Steeler injuries, which none of which will be determined until Friday, and this is Tuesday. Just didn't see the need to go there any further. Did you? This is where you whine about it's your team. And
no, I'm not saying a word. I'm just looking at a report that is coming out that I don't know how much, I don't know how detailed it is and how well researched it is right now or how much evidence there is, but the Chargers and Raiders look like they may be the leaders for a Carson relocation project.
Well, that's what they've been doing the entire time, but they haven't voted yet. This goes back to what did I say 3 weeks ago? The NFL is not enamored with Stan Kroenke moving the Rams to Inglewood.
Looks like the committee is going to recommend a joint bid between the Raiders and Chargers to build in Carson.
The vote was 5-1. They've already voted. The vote was 5-1. Clark Hunt of the Kansas City Chiefs was the only one who opposed. Now they need to have 24 owners say yes. That's going to be a little more difficult.